Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. Again, I wish to thank our listeners for accessing the Interpreter's Pulpit podcast, the Word of God codified. Mashiach truly is the answer. The truth of the matter is that God is not frantically trying to save the world now. If he is, then clearly the Dark Lord has the upper hand. Today is a day of salvation, not the day of salvation. Check Isaiah 49:8 in the Hebrew, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 in the Greek. Christians are God's first fruits of his universal harvest. Romans 8.23, Romans 11.16, 1 Corinthians 15.20 and James 1.18. The teaching in the biblical revelation on this is clear. Because the Gentile church threw out the meaning of the Jewish festivals, it lost all knowledge of the rich meaning of the phrase first fruits. Assuredly, we were chosen in Messiah back in eternity and predestined to sonship to God. Ephesians 1 verses 4, 5 and 6 explain that. And this present age, since Messiah's first coming, is the time period in which God is calling out his messianic community, his first fruits, in his plan, his great plan, I might add, of salvation. An apostle of the Messiah wrote in Acts 15 verse 13 and 14, "Men and brethren, listen carefully to me. Shimon," that's Simon, "has declared how God at the first," or for the first time in the house of Cornelius, "did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." The entire speech of Yaakov, James, is most enlightening. He continues, "After this," that's after forming the Messianic community, "after this will I return," speaking of the second advent of Messiah, "and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, and the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the nations upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who accomplishes all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." That's Acts 15:16 to 18. Israel, at the dawning of the Messianic age, will begin to turn to their Messiah, Yeshua. The IMCF has been predicting the worldwide rise of Messianic churches, fellowships, and synagogues since its inception in 1981 and even before. Certainly, at Messiah's advent, all Israel shall be saved, Romans 11:26, and all the nations shall seek after the Lord, Acts 15, verse 17. Yes, God has a program for his authentic spiritual community. What is that program? Ephesians 2 verse 7 tells us it is this, that in the ages to come, yes, God has salvific ages spread out ahead of him, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. How Christians can read such astonishing words as these in Ephesians 2:7 without apprehending the marvelous plan which God has for the destiny of Israel and the whole world in his salvific purposes is beyond my comprehension. Again, in the ages to come, God might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace. Show who? Show those who already know it? Paul answers forthrightly, if we may believe what he wrote. If you turn with me to Ephesians 3 and look at verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the nations the unsearchable riches of the Messiah, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the ages has been hid in God," yes, a great secret, "who created all things by Yeshua HaMashiach, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies, might be made known through the Messianic community, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in the anointed Yeshua our Lord. The salvific grace of God is to be made known to all men on earth, and to all the creatures that populate the heavens. This is the excellent calling of the Messianic Ecclesia, the called out assembly of the Messianic community. You know, there have been somewhere between 70 and 140 billion people who have lived on this planet since the dawn of Adam's creation. Now, the vast, overwhelming majority of past and present humankind have never, ever heard of that one name under heaven, given among men, whereby we may be saved, Acts 4:12. And that's a lot of burning spirit, soul, and body to be tormented for eternity. But such is not God's purpose, at least not according to my Bible. Yours might be different to me, but I doubt it. Have a good look at it. True, the lost do not deserve the grace of God. Well, neither do you, and neither do I. That's why grace is grace, unmerited favor. That's why it takes grace to save us, all of us. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And that's the faith, that faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, listeners, stop and think. Why does Paul continue on from his preceding clause, that is, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Messiah Yeshua, with the word "for," as in, "For by grace are you saved," etc. Simply put, Paul is stating that in the ages to come, God will demonstrate his grace to the entire universe using the Messianic community as the body of Mashiach, as his prime representative example or model of what grace accomplishes, for he has already shown his grace to us in this present age. What do we really believe, deep down in our soul? In God's superabundant grace? Or in the horrors of a Constantinian church's shallow theology of everlasting misery, of an eternal Christless night, which, incidentally, you cannot find anywhere in the pages of the Bible? If you believe in such a sham as this, then you might proclaim yourself as feeling calm, cool, and collected, because you are aligned not with the loving Yehovah God, but with the respected post-Reformation theologians and ministers of the Western Protestant Church especially, who do little more than reflect a gross, crude ignorance of the scriptural record, the Jewish thought forms that brought us the book in the first place, and the holy salvific character of everlasting, unconditional love and compassion, which we inadequately call by the name of God. Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Hopkins, Isaac Ambrose, Whittaker, Erskine, these men were all extolled for their Christian virtues. Their prolific writings have been feasted upon with religious relish by multiple millions of their beloved disciples. Yet their devotionals are revolting, pornographic, misguided, lunatic ravings out of the depths, not of God's Holy Spirit of a sound mind, but out of the swill and the perversion of the carnal human mind. According to their theology, Mashiach's grace is left in tattered shreds, and the potent salvific sovereignty of God the Father is drastically reduced to the ludicrous and amusing caricature of fickleness, as well as vindictiveness, of an old great-grandfather figure with a long white beard who has lost the plot altogether and has no recourse open to him but to wipe out in one fell swoop the tragedy of a plan of salvation that went horribly awry in the Garden of Eden. God has become the fast-fading smile of the proverbial cosmic Cheshire Cat. He cannot convert, only condemn. Billions have no hope of a salvific future. They can only look with terror to an eternity of separation from a God, as they view him, of conditional love, an eternity facing them in the furnaces of fury. Charles Finney, one of the great evangelists of the past, was unable to refute the logic of Christ's universal salvation, so he resorted to ridicule. But his particular belief system leaves his precious Jesus as the Lord of a minority, in contrast to the egocentric Finney. The God-fearing George MacDonald argued that a righteous God would not be just to us if he did not love us. For, MacDonald insisted, God is love. God's very character is love. God's very nature is love. God's very being is love, as his name proclaims. Therefore, God's punishments without love are unjust. I'll repeat that. God's punishments without love are unjust. MacDonald also recognized, as all true scholars now do, that the few New Testament references to everlasting punishment were based on a complete lack of appreciation of the Greek term aionian, and that the New Testament usage of this word referred to quality rather than to length of time. Messiah is the answer, and we have examined faithfully some of the questions. Now, there are numerous more to ponder, but never get discouraged over asking questions. All of us have dearly loved ones who are not saved at this time. Some have already passed over into the timeless void of the dreamy netherworld of Sheol. Perhaps God, the God of the spirits of all humankind, Numbers 16:22 and Numbers 27:22, verse 16, will grant us the immense privilege of showing the exceeding riches of his grace to our loved ones personally in the ages to come. Take heart, it may well be so. One thing for certain, the day is coming when God will be, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:28, all in all, not all in some. Upon that revelation of Scripture, we can totally rely. O God, haste that day. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying, Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.